It's Morning Edition on 89.5 WNIJ. Good morning, I'm Dan Klefstad with part three of our winter book series. Today, we consider the human need to reconnect with nature, much like Henry David Thoreau did in the 1850s, when he moved to a cabin and wrote his most famous book, Walden. One person who studied that book carefully is Tom Montgomery Fate, who incorporates Thoreau's ideas in his latest book, Cabin Fever. Fate, in particular, is guided by Thoreau's philosophy of living a deliberate life. Through this, Thoreau hoped to discover freedom and balance by living simply rather than reacting to the pressures and distractions of civilized life. I asked Fate how he applied this principle to his own life in suburban Chicago and at a little cabin in southwestern Michigan.
I'm not sure that I've applied them yet. It's always an attempt, you know. So when I first read Walden when I was 19, I, you know, came across the line that you referenced there. I went to the woods to live deliberately. And at that time, deliberate meant with intensity and intentionality, that kind of thing. Then I reread the book 40 years later, married in suburbia, three kids, busy lives. At that time, a deliberate life came to mean something different to me, and I happened to stumble upon the etymology of the word, and it comes from, or at the heart of the word is Libra, the two-pan scale of justice. And so I started to understand the idea of a deliberate life as a balanced life. And so when I started to think about how to put the book together, I started to think maybe each chapter will be a deliberation or a weighing of two aspects of human experience. So like each chapter is nature and religion, art and activism, love and sex, this kind of balancing. And so I guess my hope was that by doing those deliberations in print that I would somehow invite the readers to do a similar deliberation via their own lives.
Well, tell me about the cabin. How is it heated? Tell me about the amenities.
How is it heated? Well, my wife and son were just there last night, and it was heated by one of those plug-in electric heaters because they didn't want to make a fire. But it's generally heated by a wood stove. Thoreau's cabin was 10 by 15. Our porch is 10 by 15, and the whole cabin, I believe, is 24 by 15. And we did, after a year or two, run an electric line, so it has electricity, but it doesn't have water. And so that makes it a little more rustic.
I understand it took you 2 years to build this cabin. This is an area where the human population has grown so much that now Sawyer, Michigan, where your cabin is located, is really considered now part of greater Chicago. You write that the river near your cabin has become polluted, and you're concerned about wildlife habitat being increasingly threatened throughout the region. How have you responded personally to these changes in the environment?
You know, I try to do small things, doing everything from water testing with the Sierra Club to, you know, trying to stay up with legislation. And we've tried to keep down the invasives and to provide a variety of habitats for the fauna that live in that area. I have a chapter in Cabin Fever about the relationship between the artist and the activist. What interests me with Thoreau was that he's often perceived as an activist or an environmental troubadour, or someone who started the environmental movement. I really don't think he was. I really think that he was someone who went to the woods because he wanted to create the time to write and to walk and to do his art. But he had an incredible social conscience, and so he also had the courage to be involved in the abolitionist movement. But from my own perspective, I see both art and activism as equally important in terms of social movements. I think the artist changes the world by teaching the reader or teaching the beholder how to pay attention. So when I spend time trying to put a frame around a spider web in the woods that I've just walked into or something that seems peripheral or not important, for me, they're part of the same whole, and that whole is attentiveness. How do you pay attention to the world in a way that will make the world a better place? And I think that's the role of the artist, whether you're a writer or a painter or a singer. And the other thing, of course, that the artists do is they teach themselves how to pay attention simultaneously. So that's why I write, I mean, if I had to boil it down.
Many people listening to us want to escape to nature, but they just don't happen to have a cabin in the woods to go to. How can they put into practice the lessons from your journey and from Thoreau's?
Most people can't do what Thoreau did, and most people can't take huge blocks of time and just sit and think or go for four-hour long walks every day. But the time that we do have in the natural world, or even in a park, in a forest preserve, in a playground while our children are on the swings, it has more to do with how one sees. And this is the other thing that Thoreau talks a lot about. And I think his idea of the wild is not about physicality, not about nature, so to speak, but about how one sees. So the oak tree or the bushes in your backyard or the way the wind takes the seeds from a dandelion, being able to see that fully, I think that's part of it.
Tom Montgomery Fate is the author of Cabin Fever, A Suburban Father's Search for the Wild. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At WNIJ.org, you can hear Tom read a chapter from his book called Coyotes at the Mall. Next Monday, Ricardo Mario Amezquita discusses his poetry collection, Then She Kissed El Paco's Lips Now, or April in DeKalb. I'm Dan Klefstad, WNIJ News.